hierarchy of that, it goes from Steve Bannon to Alex Jones. And Alex Jones talks about the flat earth, and he talks about the, whatever Alex Jones talk about.
I eat babies. I eat them every night. I eat them with barbecue sauce. And I flew to the moon last night with a witch, and I took DMT with Easter bunnies.
Sandy Hook and things like that. This unholy alliance has come together because of one really big reason.
Look, I know I'm smoking a cigarette here, but if Hunter Biden can smoke crack and be with underage girls and stuff in his laptop, it's okay. I can smoke a cigarette. I don't do this very often, kids. Don't try this at home. So, Andrew Callahan, who is a total fake, acts like this loving, little, cute liberal, but the guy's very duplicitous, has done all these hit pieces on me. And so now he's dropped this interview with Hunter Biden. So you talk about two piles of garbage trying to prop each other up. This is a perfect example of it. So I'm going to just play a few of the excerpts where they attack me with Hunter Biden. And, Alex Jones believes in flat earth. And Steve Bannon wants, you know, to live under tyranny. And, there was no election and, you know, fraud in 2020. This is just so pathetic. And Callahan is propped up by HBO and the establishment, but he goes around acting like he's this nice little, you know, friendly guy. In both the interviews he uses excerpts of to act like I was being serious, those were admitted comedy pieces that he told me, I'm doing a comedy show and I want you to do a comedy piece with me. And he did release those comedy pieces. But here he is with me screwing around with him years ago, trying to then act like that's really who I am. So, again, this is total disingenuousness. And then you've got Hunter Biden talking about how Steve Bannon and I do this for money. I've had the globalists try to buy me off and hire me for decades. I don't get money from communist China and Russia and the Ukrainians and Burisma like Hunter Biden. I'm not giving 10% to the big guy. I wasn't all part of the whole auto pin system and posse that the last 4.5 years was running this country dictatorially. No, it's Hunter Biden, the smartest guy Joe Biden knew. So this is a gift from these people. I mean, it's an absolute joke to have Hunter Biden up there who doesn't actually counter anything I actually say. He just says this guy thinks the earth's flat. And, of course, he brings up Sandy Hook, which they just attached me to for fundraising for the Democratic Party. Raise hundreds of millions of dollars off my name. So let's go ahead and start some of the excerpts from the interview, and I'll stop and start it at key points, but I basically already made my points. I mean, these are just two people that are emblematic of the dinosaur media and the system. And unlike the left, I have integrity. I will criticize Trump when he's wrong. The Democratic Party, they'll never criticize themselves because they're a cult funded by the establishment. They're the globalist. They're the kleptocrats. They're the problems. Here it is.
The conspiracy is that most mainstream conspiracy theories, flat earth, chemtrails, QAnon, all that stuff is deliberate misinformation to convince dumb people that they're doing important research and keep them away from
the
truth.
Right there. You want to see the CIA director under Obama admitting geoengineering weather control weapons or the treaty for it? We'll play a little bit of that.
Another example is the array of technologies often referred to collectively as geoengineering that potentially could help reverse the warming effects of global climate change. One that has gained my personal attention is stratospheric aerosol injection, or SAI, a method of seeding the stratosphere with particles that can help reflect the sun's heat in much the same way that volcanic eruptions do. An SAI program could limit global temperature increases, reducing some risks associated with higher temperatures and providing the world economy additional time to transition from fossil fuels. This process is also relatively inexpensive. The National Research Council estimates that a fully deployed SAI program would cost about $10 billion yearly. As promising as it may be, moving forward on SAI would also raise a number of challenges for our government and for the international community. On the technical side, greenhouse gas emission reductions would still have to accompany SAI to address other climate change effects, such as ocean acidification, because SAI alone would not remove greenhouse gases from the atmosphere.
My friends know that I usually think everything's a scam, from supplements and products and vitamins. I don't take anything. I usually buy it, try it, don't feel the results, end up tossing it and wasting money. So I love Alex Jones and the InfoWars crew, and Alex kept playing this video of Robert Kennedy Jr. putting some blue drops in what looked like water. And I wanted a way to support the team, so I decided to buy this methylene blue. This methylene blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am, and the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and methylene blue. Get it while you can.
It's Tuesday, July 22nd, in the year of our Lord, 2025. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this thing, get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Coming to you live this Tuesday morning from InfoWars headquarters here in Austin, Texas. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today. We're going to be joined in studio by Stuart Rhodes in the third hour. We're going to be talking about less about politics and more about the catastrophic flooding that took dozens of lives here in Texas and the recovery efforts and how you can help. We have a lot of stories to get to, a lot of videos to get to as well. So let's begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. Here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Tuesday, the 22nd of July, 2025. Former Louisville police officer charged in Breonna Taylor raid, sentenced to 33 months in prison. Former Kentucky police officer Brett Hankinson, who was convicted of a civil rights offense after shooting into an apartment where Breonna Taylor and her boyfriend were in March 2020, has been sentenced to 33 months in prison, despite the shots not hitting or injuring anyone. During a drug raid at Taylor's apartment, her boyfriend, Kenneth Walker, opened fire on the police, sparking the shootout. Hankinson shot into the apartment but hit nobody and did not injure anybody. Walker was found responsible for her death. Hankinson was charged by prosecutors in 2022 with endangering the lives of Taylor, Walker, and some of her neighbors. According to Fox 7, the case went to mistrial when jurors could not reach a unanimous verdict in 2023. But he was retried on the charges again in 2024 and was convicted of using excessive force. Because how dare you fire back at somebody firing at you, right? Just crazy. Just absolutely crazy. From the DOJ said, both counts in the state trial arose from the same nucleus of facts. Believing the officers were under attack, defendant Hankinson ran to the side of the apartment unit and fired blindly into Ms. Taylor's home. The memorandum stated, again, none of these shots wounded anybody. After a recent review of many 242 cases, counsel is unaware of any prosecution in which police officer has been charged with depriving the rights of another person under the Fourth Amendment or returning fire and not injuring anybody. So that doesn't make any sense, I have to say. But it's not really supposed to. He's not really, you know, being punished for misbehaving or hurting anybody. It's not actually a crime that he's being punished for. He's being punished as a sacrificial offering to the mobs of black people that are outside of the courtroom and threatening to riot, even though he got 33 months in prison. That's not long enough for them, because he is a symbol that they want destroyed. And our system is eager to give them that satisfaction. Again, just insane, vindictive psychopaths that, like, we genuinely can't keep having a country with, so I don't know what we're going to do about that, but it's not sustainable in any way, shape, or form. Again, just to imagine being the type of person that, it's like, I get being sad that your family member died. I personally would be mad at the person who started shooting the police officers because they're a drug dealer that they're involved in. But you just got these people, they're just drains, they're just gigantic vacuums sucking out all of the energy and prosperity and potentiality that America has, just gigantic sinks, just weights dragging us to the bottom, providing nothing, contributing absolutely nothing to anybody, causing massive, unsustainable problems in every realm of our society. And I just can't even imagine, like, having a friend or a family member that, like, shoots at police. Some cop, you know, shoots back, doesn't hit anybody, doesn't injure anybody, but you still, like, want his head. You want him dead. You want him in jail for years. He's in jail for nearly 3 years. He's just been sentenced to, and they're not satisfied. They're not even happy. Man didn't even do anything. He didn't do anything. They tried to kill him. He didn't do anything, and now they want him in jail for 33 months because there's something just deeply evil about these people. I don't know what it is. I don't know why we like listen to them or have anything to do with them, honestly. What type of person shoots at police officers and then is mad when the police officers go to jail for 3 years for shooting back? Like, it's just, we just can't do this anymore. We just can't do this anymore. This guy should not go to jail for a single day. Anyway, we can return to that, but it's just when you really think about, like, what this system does to people and who it does it to, it's just completely insane to imagine being a cop, being given a mission to go do something. You get shot at, you're putting your own life on the line to try to make the city safer. And then the same system that you're serving throws you in a concrete box for 3 years for following their instructions and doing exactly what they say. It's just, and then meanwhile, the drug dealing retards who literally just live off government largesse, just spend all of their time protesting to let criminals out of prison. It's just, God, we're just so freaking screwed. Meanwhile, FBI Pete Buttigieg's transportation department paid $80 billion for DEI while delaying air traffic control upgrades, according to a report. The Department of Transportation under Pete Buttigieg spent $80 billion on diversity, equity, and inclusion grants while the agency delayed the upgrades of air traffic control, according to a report from the New York Post. Buttigieg, who was also considered to be a contender for the 2028 presidential race, at one point told industry executives that upgrades to air traffic control would allow more planes to fly. So why would that be in his interest? Sources told the outlet. What? At one point told an industry executive that upgrades to air traffic control would allow more planes to fly, quote, so why would that be in his interest, sources told the outlet. I don't even understand what the hell they're saying. Records showed that records reviewed by the outlet showed that Buttigieg was much more interested in handing out $80 billion in DEI grants over 4 years. He was in the cabinet role. He was definitely pushing an agenda, one industry official told the outlet, and added that Buttigieg had little to no interest in modernizing the air traffic control system. The sources said that Buttigieg spent a great deal of his time blaming airlines for delays, as well as vilifying the industry while leaving the old traffic control system that has not been upgraded since the Carter administration in place, the reports stated, citing sources. Again, folks, you have to understand. You have to understand the way these people's minds work. You have to understand how incompatible these people are with our society and with your mind and the way that you think about things. I swear to God, if you're listening to my voice, it's like 99% chance you're the type of person that if you're put in a position of power, you would do everything in your ability to fulfill the obligations of that position. Understand that that never even enters into the equation in these people's minds. Pete Buttigieg became Department of Transportation Secretary with one goal in mind, one goal alone, to use it to pad his resume so that he could become president of the United States. It's what his entire, every one of his actions is predicated on. Every one of his life decisions is towards that purpose. I've been talking about this for years. I mean, Everything. It's very obvious, you know, trail he's plotting, where he's like, first, I'm going to run for president. And even though he was doing better than anybody else in the field, he gave all of his support over to Biden as soon as he announced. And we had it on the foot. In fact, there was like a leaked call, because I think Pete Buttigieg like called the wrong number or something. But there's a recording of Pete Buttigieg going to Biden like, yeah, I'm about to drop out. And I was just, you know, wondering where I should send my support. And hoping we could talk about that a little bit. In other words, he never ran with the intention of winning the election. He ran for the sole intent and purpose of getting enough support to use that, transmute his support into a position in the cabinet, use that position in the cabinet to stay in the public eye and build his resume so that in 2028 he could get elected. I think he even adopted children when he adopted them specifically so that they would be like 4 years old when he was running for president the next time. The man is not a human being. He's a slithering serpent. He's a manifestation of the worst inclinations of the most diehard bureaucrats in our government. So when he gets in the position of Department of Transportation, his only thought is, how do I weaponize this to my own advantage? How do I use this position I'm in to get a bunch of money to funnel out to interest groups so that they'll support me when I run for president in 4 years? How do I use my position granted to me in public trust to serve a specific purpose and, you know, better the safety and efficiency of our transportation systems? How do I ignore all of that and instead just take as much as I can from it to help myself and the people like me? It's like, you got to understand that these people, it never even occurs to them that they shouldn't do this. This is what they think the position is supposed to be. Like, this is what their mindset is. And this is really at the core of all of it, at the heart of like so many of the things that our country is failing in, because of bad people like this, because of bad people like Pete Buttigieg, trying really hard not to use just a plethora of slurs against him, but I'm trying. I'm really trying. I just want people to understand, like, just how incompatible these people are with our system. They don't care. They really, really don't care. Okay? Like, Rex and I were talking yesterday about some of the, like, Chinese infrastructure, talking about maglev trains and stuff. 80 billion dollars. Do you have any idea what we could afford with $80 billion? What did we get for our $80 billion? Garbage Pail Libs, Puppet Pete. What did we get? What did we get for our $80 billion? We got less safe air traffic controllers. We got a bunch of handouts to a bunch of people not qualified to serve in the positions that they now have obtained.
I was going to say, a butt plug and a travel voucher.
I don't know what the hell those two things have to do with each other. Look, I hate these people. I really do. Well, we'll maybe get more, you know, back more into that later. It's just, it would be better. It would literally be better if Pete Buttigieg just burned $80 million. Just put 80 million $1 bills in a pile size of the Burj Khalifa and just lit it all on fire. It would actually genuinely have been better for America if that was the case. This is what I'm trying to emphasize. This, the Joker scene from Batman is a better use of money than what Pete Buttigieg did with the money. This money isn't hurting anybody. There's no way that a burned pack of $100 bills will cause a plane to fall out of the sky. But what Pete Buttigieg did with the money is the reason planes are falling out of the sky. This isn't just a like, oh my gosh, he gave money away to people I don't like. Like, people are dead because of this. People died because of this. I guarantee you, genuinely, I guarantee you, the DEI makes things less safe. The increase in air traffic accidents in the very recent past is not a coincidence in that it coincides perfectly with DEI drives in the air traffic industry. This is like, my God. My God, we give you $80 billion to improve air, you know, transportation. You give it away to black women, to Muslim women, so they can feel good about themselves. And planes are falling out of the sky.
Pete Buttigieg puts the trans in transportation.
Yeah, there you go. I think he should be charged. I think he should be charged with murder or, you know, negligent incompetence, whatever the term is. So when you're put in charge of something, when you're put as the authority in charge of safety, and you just give all the money away to your friends and everything becomes less safe, like, you've committed fraud to the level that people are going to die or have died already as a consequence, right? If I'm paying you to build a building and you're the chief safety officer of the construction building and you decide to spend $80 million on DEI programs instead of buying the material that will stand up and the building later collapses, like, that's on you. That's your fault. $80 billion. I wanted to keep going, but now I'm stuck on this. Now I have to actually even just try to comprehend this right now. How much is an airport? I'm going to ask Grok how much an airport costs. I'm going to see how many airports we can afford with the money that Stinky Pete put in. A small private airport, an airstrip, could be as little as $100,000. A regional airport cost $100 million to $1 billion. My God, so much money. $100 billion, medium-sized, $1 to $5 billion. Large and international mega hubs. Cost can escalate to $10 to $30 billion or more. Beijing Daxing International Airport costs $17 billion. Let's see what that looks like, shall we? Let's go ahead and just take a look at, maybe we can just go to YouTube and look up what this airport looks like. I wonder what, because we could have afforded four of these. So whatever these are, this Beijing Daxing International Airport. There you go. We could have afforded no less, actually more than, significantly more than four of these. Could have had four of these built. Oh, look at that. I wonder what cities could have used these in America. Here you go. Today's video, we're at Daxing Airport, nicknamed the Starfish, one of the most expensive airports in the world. Yeah, but this cost less than a fourth of what we spent on DEI. So wasn't that worth it? Oh, only 11.4 billion USD. So that's even less. So we could have gotten eight of these. Sorry, we nearly could have gotten eight of these international airports. Comparable to the state-of-the-art, incredible new Chinese airport that was built for just $11 billion. We spent $80 billion. Where are our airports? Where are our new planes? Where are our maglev trains? Where are our architectural accomplishments? Oh, they don't exist. We gave them away to black people because they score poorly on the test that they're supposed to do for air traffic controllers. And now our planes are falling out of the sky. I mean, do we really want this, though? I mean, is that the type of America that we want to be? We want to just have state-of-the-art, high-tech infrastructure everywhere? I don't know. The America of today, we don't want these incredible you know, wonders of construction. You know, we don't want that. We want our old, dilapidated infrastructure, and we want it black people in charge, okay? That's what we've chosen. That's the course we've chosen to go down. As long as our boardrooms look like brochures from, you know, stock photo catalogs, then we're happy. We don't need this. We don't need, I mean, what is this? State-of-the-art, perfectly clean infrastructure. Where's the vibrancy? Where's the diversity? Okay. I mean, what, so our lives would be significantly improved in a thousand different ways if we spent our money on actually building things and creating great things? No. We don't want that. We want everything to be crap, and we want lots of brown people everywhere. That's literally the choice that we made. That, I guess, is the choice that we made.
The browner, the better.
The browner, the better. Yeah, I wouldn't say, I don't care. I wouldn't care. Except that it's the choice they make. This is why they did it. $80 billion. So we could have had roughly 8 of these. Pete Buttigieg flew almost 20 times on taxpayer-funded private jets. Yeah, good for him. I mean, he deserves it. He's, you know, he can't be just sitting on domestic civilian flights. Because you see, the work he's doing is so important. I mean, what if a flight is delayed or something? You know, that is very ironic. So by being such a failure in Department of Transportation, like flights are constantly being delayed or canceled or airplanes fixed with tape. And he's like, so, you know, I can't have that happen to me. I can't have that happen to me. So I need a private jet at my beck and call. So I can just hop on and board immediately without having to suffer through the problems that I myself cause as Department of Transportation Secretary. That is pretty amazing. But I mean, you know, he's got an important position in the federal government. You know, he can't, the fate of America can't, you know, be at the whim of some civilian airline changing their flights. I mean, what if there was some storm and flights were canceled and he can't get out? I mean, who is going to give away $10 billion to racist organizations? I mean, he's got to have the private jet. Otherwise, he couldn't make those emergency trips away from East Palestine, Ohio, right? I mean, he couldn't make those emergency trips to very quickly sign a check of other people's money to give away for his own political cachet. I mean, if he wasn't on a private jet, you know, who knows the delay that could be caused in handing out gigantic chunks of cashpayer money to people who don't deserve it and haven't earned it. So we'll move on the other side, but I just... How is this guy not just gone? How is he not just disappeared into obscurity because he's such an obvious gigantic failure?
There's a reason why supplements are so big and so popular and have such a great result. It's because whether it's your diet, whether it's your exercise routine, the point is you're lacking in some very important vitamins, very important minerals that can make you healthier, live longer, and feel better.
We're also under constant attack, Owen, and that's what's very important. So the modern human living experience, the environment that we subject ourselves to, it's the equivalent of smoking like a couple packs of cigarettes every single day. Like, that's the bad food that we eat, that's the poison in the water, XYZ.
So it's kind of like what happens is, Rex Jones in studio with me, we're about to make a very exciting new product announcement here. So what ends up happening is, whether it's the modern day diet or whether it's the modern day atmosphere or whether it's, you know, a sedative state, you're not getting whatever it is you need to make your body function at its highest capabilities.
Absolutely correct. And that's why we created these two new formulas that are now live at thealexjonesstore.com. So we've got Methyl Drive here, and we've also got Power Plant. Now, both of them, at their core, they do around the same type of thing. It's increasing fuel for you to create new mitochondria. It's increasing mitochondrial efficiency. It's reducing oxidative stress and XYZ, other things like that. Now, I want to single out Power Plant really quick. If you're a guy and you're looking for a boost, a healthy, sustainable testosterone boost, we made Power Plant specifically for someone who wants to increase their free testosterone.
I remember when I was looking into supplements and stuff and different things, like, you know, people don't get enough boron. They don't even know what boron is. And I remember one thing that always stuck in my head, and that's, you know, it's just true. Well, what does boron kind of rhyme with, folks? I'll just leave it at that. You know what I mean?
We've got bits and pieces of a system here that comes together and provides you just the antioxidant support you need, the testosterone support you need, the mitochondrial health support you need. It's all there. It's all together. It's in both of these products. You could take both of these at the same time and experience a heck of a lot of benefits. Now, I would say younger, older. You're an older person. You need more overall body support. You need the overall antioxidant support. I would go with the Methyl Drive. But if you're a younger person or someone looking for a performance boost, I would go with the Power Plant.
I can enhance what I'm doing here maybe like tenfold with the right supplement routine.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that statement. Look, the reason why this is called Power Plant is because it has cordyceps in it. Now, of course, the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell and all that, but cordyceps is like an elite top tier, S tier ingredient, which increases the amount of ATP you make, which indirectly helps you make more mitochondria, but beyond that, increases your oxygen carrying capacity. So you want to talk about workouts, you want to talk about power, you want to talk about strength, talk about Power Plant.
And that's what you need, especially when you're doing a heavy lift and you need to have good breathing, or you're doing long form cardio and you need to have strong breathing. That's where this is going to come into play. And when you started talking about the new product that we just came out with the PQQ and the CoQ10.
Yes, the Methyl Drive.
Folks, I'm telling you, it's like if I had to do a list of like, okay, if someone said you can pick five things that you're going to get in a supplement, like what are the most important things? Guarantee you, you asked me 100 times, PQQ and CoQ10 are on that list for me 100 times.
Vitamin B12, as-methylcobalamin, the good kind. Magnesium, coenzyme Q10, CoQ10, PQQ, black pepper for absorption. You can't ask for a better catch-all, really. And the synergy that both of these products have with the Methylene Blue is unparalleled. You will not find a better product on the market that's targeted in that specific way, because we made these for you, the customer, and for ourselves, because we believe in the product. We take the product.
TheAlexJonesStore.com to get these new products. Try them for yourself. I know they're going to become a staple. I see Rex working out here every once in a while. We've worked out in the gym every once in a while. And, you know, he's really excited about this stuff. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, folks. No pun intended. We went a little off the rails there. I guess you could say the Daily Dispatch crashed and burned as soon as we got to Pete Buttigieg. So we'll keep going now. Even though I would like to know more about that. Because I just don't even get how you can spend $80 billion and not have anything to show for it. That is just, like, what did they actually, anyway, doesn't matter, it's just your money. It's just your blood, sweat, and tears being given away because certain classes of people can't score well on tests. oh well, and just jam on the accelerator in our race to the bottom. Meanwhile, Trump admin releases MLK files despite King family's objections. Despite protests from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s families and civil rights group he once led, the Trump administration has made public the FBI surveillance, the records of FBI surveillance of the slain civil rights icon. The move pits President Trump's determination to release documents the government has kept secret for more than half a century against the family's lingering pain of how J. Edgar Hoover's FBI spied on King and tried to intimidate and humiliate him. It comes amid growing calls for Trump to release the Epstein files after his administration concluded there was no evidence to suggest the great disgraced financier was murdered or kept a client list. King's surviving daughter, Bernice King, referenced in a post to X late Monday of a photo with her father, of her father with the comment, "Now do the Epstein files." Tulsi Gabbard released over 230,000 pages of documents related to the 1968 assassination of MLK, the agency announced. And of course, well, we can get into all this. In January, Trump ordered the release of all these records. The documents detail the FBI's investigation into MLK's assassination, including case leads, internal memos, tracking progress, and records about James Earl Ray's former cellmate who claimed Ray spoke of a possible assassination plot. The release also includes evidence from a Canadian police department and never-before-seen CIA records that outline overseas intelligence on the international hunt for Ray, the prime suspect in the assassination. King's two surviving adult children in a statement said, "Those who engage with the release of these files do so with empathy, restraint, and respect for our family's continuing grief." They had an advanced viewing of the documents, saying, quote, "During our father's lifetime, he was relentlessly targeted by an invasive, predatory, and deeply disturbing disinformation and surveillance campaign orchestrated by J. Edgar Hoover through the Federal Bureau of Investigation," the Kings said. "While we support transparency and historical accountability, we object to any attacks on our father's legacy or attempts to weaponize it to spread falsehoods." Yeah, the FBI was very hostile against him. We can get more into that later and look at what some of the files reveal. Meanwhile, U.S. appeals court allows Trump administration to remove deportation protections for Afghans and Cameroonians. On July 21st, a federal judge lifted an order blocking the Trump administration from ending temporary protected status for around 14,600 Afghans and 7,900 Cameroonians in the U.S. The administration moved in April to terminate TPS, citing improved security and economic conditions in Afghanistan and Cameroon, despite arguments about ongoing threats and crises. This ruling allows the administration to begin deportations after Monday night and suggests affected TPS holders may seek asylum or other legal protections amid ongoing legal challenges. Okay. Again, it's like it's funny how it's always a news story when the temporary protected status gets revoked. As if it was never meant to be temporary, as if that was a lie the entire time. Just ridiculous. Why do we? We're under no obligation. It's like, but Afghanistan is dangerous. It's like, so what? There are lots of dangerous places. We're under no obligation. Just because your homeland is a cesspit, that doesn't mean you get to live here. Why is this considered a thing? Improve your own lands. Like, it would be different. So I was thinking about this. I don't think I expressed it very well when I was talking about it a while ago. Because in Austin, there's a school that has a very nice public elementary school that has just been given over to the Afghans that they imported to that community. So you've got American kids who grew up here, whose like parents went to this elementary school. Now they are being disadvantaged to the extent that the classes are being taught in Pashtun. So the American kids are going to class and the class is being taught in a language they don't understand. Or at the very least, it's being, the whole class becomes English second language because there's so many Afghans in this one neighborhood in Austin that they have to treat all of the students as if they don't speak English. So if you're a third grader, it's been speaking English your whole life, suddenly you have to go to class every day and relearn how to spell the word dog that you learned 5 years ago. So you're not learning anything. So instead, you're going to school and you're going to hate school. It's not going to teach you anything. You're not even able to like communicate, let alone maximize your potential of learning and knowledge and instruction, because they imported a million Afghans for some reason and dropped them all in Austin. And so now, and of course, all of the kids are Afghan. All their parents came over here, don't have jobs. So they all get jobs in the school because they don't have enough people who speak Pashtun to run the school. So now all the people who we brought over got hired by the school. So now it's the taxpayer dollars that go to fund their salaries so that they can take over the school and teach their kids to learn, while all of the kids whose parents are the ones who paid the tax money to pay for all of it have their education completely hampered and stalled out because they're being taught like they're in kindergarten, even though they're in third grade. And here's the hilarious thing. That's if you're in the regular classes. If you want to do the advanced classes, guess what? They're in Spanish. No, I'm not kidding. The advanced placement classes in this elementary school are dual language, so they're teaching you in Spanish. My wife was talking to some mothers that was there, and there's a kid there, probably second, third grade. And they asked her, like, are you? And she's like, yeah, I'm in the Spanish class. And they're like, are you learning anything? And she goes, well, I don't speak Spanish, so not really. Like, okay, so they're teaching science class in Spanish to a bunch of kids who don't speak Spanish. So they aren't learning Spanish, and they aren't learning science. And that's if you're in the advanced placement class. They only went in to get out of the class that's been taken over by Pashtun and is teaching kids to speak English, even though they're in third grade. And so it's just like, why would, like, nobody would do this to themselves. This is being done to the Americans. This is an attack on the Americans. This is hijacking the American system and just giving it to other people who provide nothing, bring nothing, contribute nothing. What I mean by that is that it would be different. It'd be very different if there was some Afghan billionaire that was like, I want to contribute to the United States. I'm going to pay millions of dollars to build our own school there in America. And then Afghans are going to go there and they're going to have their own place where they can learn English as a second language and they can have Pashtun speakers. But I'm funding it and I'm providing it. And, you know, it'll help America because I'll be building things there and creating prosperity there. At least there you'd have an argument for the ethnic displacement and, you know, demographic change that's going on, because at least you're like benefiting from it and the people that are coming in are a positive contribution to your system. Instead, they weaponize and hijack all of our systems, disadvantage the people that built it and paid for it and who it's for, to give away to other people who contribute nothing and instead get jobs with the school provided by the government out of your taxpayer dollar. It's just an endless drain on our resources. It's hamstringing and kneecapping our children so that they can't achieve what they should be able to achieve, because you're forcing them to go to school for babies. You're forcing them to go to school with babies, or school for babies. They're not learning anything, and they're just going to achieve nothing. And it's just, you're just hamstringing and kneecapping all of the Americans that are actually paying for all of this, while the people who've contributed nothing get every benefit we could possibly give them, every advantage they could possibly get. And like, whatever, good for them. You know, they should go and try to improve themselves. If they want to come to America and contribute, God bless them, but they can't just come and just be parasites. It would be very different if this was, you know, some big movement of wealthy people coming to this country to create, you know, to bring their wealth here and contribute to our society. It's never that. It's never that. It's never that. Not that there aren't Afghan billionaires. Of course there are. They're just not expected to do anything for their people or, you know, shoulder that burden. Ernie, that's all on us. That's on us for some reason. some reason it's our responsibility that Cameroon can't get its act together. Meanwhile, 15 dead, including four children, of malnutrition in Gaza over the past 24 hours, Hamas-run ministry says. 15 people, including four children, have died of hunger and malnutrition in Gaza in the last 24 hours, as reported by the Gaza Health Ministry. The Gaza Health Ministry stated that 72 people were killed, 376 injured when Israeli attacked during the same period. Since the ceasefire ended on March 18th, at least 8,268 people have been reported killed in Gaza, with a total of 101 deaths from hunger and malnutrition since the war began. So they're just starving people to death. Wonder if they'll resort to cannibalism soon. It's just, it's like when we talk about all this stuff and just the way that the American people are just screwed over and disadvantaged and hijacked and discriminated against constantly in every different way, and how our money, which is just, you know, a transmutation of energy, it's just our lifeblood, is stolen from us to pay for these programs. It's just worth reemphasizing that, like, the people doing this have no limit to their cruelty. There's no point at which it'll be like, and now your debt to humanity is paid and we're going to stop disadvantaging you. This is the end. This is the end. Okay. This is the end result. Like, we're still in the early stages, like, we still have wealth, we still have prosperity, we still have communities. Slowly but surely, those are being winnowed away, chipped away at. But eventually, when these people stay in charge, this is the point that it gets to. And you can be in a desert surrounded by barbed wire, your children starving to death, and they'll still call you the bad guys. I just know, like, especially earlier on, you watch InfoWars, and, like, it can seem a little blackpilling, and a lot of the, I think one of the main reasons people sort of, like, reject the InfoWars message is because it requires you to actually contend with the fact that this level of evil exists out there, and people just don't want to. They're just scared. It's terrifying to think that our country is run by people that are active participants in something like a campaign of starvation in which over 100 people have died from malnutrition, which is one of the most painful and agonizing deaths you can possibly imagine. But, like, you got to understand. You got to realize who these people are. You have to realize that we're not being hyperbolic. We're not being, you know, panicky, or not, we're not exaggerating when we say these people want you dead, they want us dead, and that they're just endlessly cruel. Endlessly cruel. And that there's nothing in them that's going to stop them. There is no internal mechanism of limitation with these people. And when they're in positions of power and they fail utterly to provide even semblance of positive effect to the people that they have been appointed by, like, it doesn't matter to them or their constituents. It just doesn't matter. Their goal is your destruction. And so when they spend $80 billion on DEI and planes are falling out of the sky, They're not going to pay for. They're not going to like pay a price for that. You would think, you know, in any normal situation, a failure of that magnitude, person in charge would be put to the side. But like you get to a point where you have to understand it's not an accident. That 100 people starving to death, it's not because there's a lack of food. I think when you understand that, I don't know, man. I honestly just don't know. I just don't know what to do about this anymore. But it is genuinely endless. At least 15 die of hunger, as UN says Gaza aid workers faint from starvation. And this includes people like journalists. The AFP organization in Germany is warning that their journalists in Gaza are also under threat of starvation. AFP warns Gaza journalists face starvation amid ongoing Israeli siege. 23 die of malnutrition across Gaza in 2 days, say doctors. Trump administration has announced the United States will leave UNESCO, accusing the UN cultural agency of opposing Israel and promoting what it calls a woke agenda. According to the New York Post reported on Tuesday, the woke agenda of feeding starving children. This move follows a 90-day White House review ordered earlier this year focused on investigating the alleged anti-Israeli sentiment. Officials reportedly criticized UNESCO's work on diversity, equity, and inclusion, as well as what they described as a bias in favor of Palestinians. It's like, well, wait. They have anti-Israeli sentiment? You're telling me that the people whose careers and jobs have been dedicated to providing sustenance to poverty-stricken communities don't have fond feelings for the government that is deliberately starving 2 million people? Why? What? Oh my gosh, I'm so shocked. They don't love Israel? How dare they not love Israel? How dare the people with the on-the-ground, up-close-and-personal experience with Israel's just sickeningly evil actions, how dare they not kiss Israel's feet while Israel starves and bombs and shoots them? What's wrong with them? They're so anti-Semitic. It's that ingrained, it's in their DNA. And it's like no matter how many times we light their children on fire, they still hate us. No matter how many times we offer them food only to shoot them in the head for trying to get it, they still don't like us. And that's just so wrong. And luckily for, you know, the poor innocent Israelis so subject to this senseless and pointless hatred, luckily the American government is here to make sure that their dislike of you won't go unpunished. Okay? So, hey, starving children is a small price to pay to remind people that you're not allowed to dislike Israel, okay? At least 43 Palestinians have been killed across Gaza since dawn, according to hospital sources, Al Jazeera Arabic reported. Doctors say Israeli forces opened fire in multiple areas of the strip, with 10 of the dead reportedly gunned down while waiting for food. That was about an hour ago. Famine death toll hits 101, including 80 children. Say 80 children have starved to death, with 15 deaths in just the last 24 hours alone, including 4 children. But again, I mean, they don't like Israel, so I think they should have to starve to death. You know, if you don't love the people bombing you and who killed your whole family, you know, maybe you just need to be starved to death. I think that's perfectly fair and reasonable, right? Isn't it, though? I'm just sick of all this anti-Semitism. I'm sick of it. What have the Jews ever done to anybody, ever? Okay, not one. You can't think of one thing the Jewish people have ever done to anybody. I mean, Sure, the starvation campaign. Fine. All right. One thing. The bombing campaign and the general genocide going on there. Okay, so like two things. One thing, really, if you think about it. And like communism and the Middle East wars and the fiat reserve banking and obviously pornography and gay rights and the hijacking of the civil rights movement have left us in this mess, not to mention the fact that they brought the slaves over in the first place. But like other than that, you know, what have they done to anybody? Okay, leave them alone. All right, so they control our whole government with sex blackmail rings with children. So what? So that's fine. Okay, that's not bad. They've done nothing to anybody ever, and you're not allowed to dislike them. Okay. And if that means you starve to death, yeah, maybe you should think twice next time. All right. Sick of it. I'm sick of all this anti-Semitism. Israel seeks U.S. help on deals to move Palestinians out of Gaza. Director of Israel's Mossad spy agency visited Washington this week, seeking U.S. help in convincing countries to take hundreds of thousands of Palestinians from Gaza, two sources with knowledge of the issue tell Axios. The spy chief, David Barnea, told White House envoy Steve Witkoff that Israel has been speaking in particular with Ethiopia, Indonesia, and Libya. So, you know, good luck, Ethiopia, Libya, and Indonesia. Israel's government goal of removing much of Gaza's population is hugely controversial. I mean, I guess if the other option is Israel starves them to death, I guess that's the better option. Just seems like we're dealing with a cabal of psychopaths here, and probably the best thing to do for the sake of humanity is next time the Mossad chief visits America is we arrest him. And I'll leave it at that. Anyway, we have videos to go to. But I'm just sort of sick of it. I'm just sort of sick of all this, you know? You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying, though? It's like maybe the solution here, what if we just acted like the Israelis? It's like, I'm kidding. I don't even want to make that joke because they're so evil, you know? You know how evil they are? It's like, I don't even want to make a joke about, like, you know, putting everybody in camps and starving them to death just because they don't like America. It's just crazy to imagine how responsible we all are for this and how our country is being destroyed while we give endless support to the country that is starving their enemies to death. It's just horrific.
So we had Stuart Rhodes, the founder of Oath Keepers, former J6 political prisoner, constitutional lawyer, so much more on Paratrooper. And he wanted to try methylene blue like so many other guests have done live on air. I got so busy with all the Iran war stuff and the commies rioting to ever get him to take it on air. All the guests, dozens of them that have taken it, within 45 minutes to an hour, have varying degrees from extreme energy and feeling really great to fog lifting to just over the top crying and feel so good. Especially the first time you take it. Electrochemical in the mitochondria, cleans out the cells, just does incredible things. RFK Jr. loves it. We've got the strongest ultra methylene blue. But he's going on Owen in about 30 minutes. My show just ended, I forgot to do this. He's like, hey, are we doing methylene blue? So he's going to take it now. But guys, don't forget when he's on Owen, to maybe if he forgets before he's going to go off, to then tell us what he felt. And if he doesn't feel it, we'll put that out. I've had like out of 300 plus people we've given it to, two people did not feel it. That means your mitochondria is in perfect shape. So Stuart, go ahead and take a half dropper or so. That's about a half dose. And then go ahead and shut that down. And then we're going to find out what happens to you. We'll see. Most people, it hits within about 30 minutes. Starts peaking after a couple hours. But you're going to be on Owen. So please, before you go, just tell people what you think. And if you don't feel it, we're going to tell everybody.
20 minutes later.
I can feel a definite, like, an energy spike. Yeah, it feels pretty good.
What are you going to do now that you have your energy spike?
I'm going to see if it has a crash.
I've never heard of a crash.
Yeah, apparently it doesn't. But yeah, it feels pretty good. Yeah, definitely I feel sharper.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was pretty tired coming in here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was.
Well, you're running around Texas right now. You're dealing with some other issues here.
I was driving all over Texas giving speeches for True Texas Project, and I was pretty efficient in sleep. Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good.
So did he give you the drink or the capsules?
I took the drink, but I got a bottle of each, and I'm going to go and do a longer-term test. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Yeah, I do feel kind of amped right now. Yeah.
That's good. Well, that's probably, I don't know, that might be because you're hanging out with me. So we gotta maybe try to get
I think it's about the Wayne Blue.
The